Okay, so these are my open thoughts on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, both the anime and the manga. And as per usual, fair spoiler warning, I am trying to catch up with all of the series. Not quite there yet. I'm about halfway through part 5. I haven't finished part 5, but I read all of part 6, and I'm halfway through part 7 as well. So I'm really spreading myself thin and reading as much of it as I can before I write this. As per usual, there will be spoilers, so, you know, if you don't want to know all the twists and turns of JoJo, not that it matters that much, because JoJo's one of those series where I can tell you everything that happens, and, like, it all sounds so ridiculous, and it's really the execution that makes it interesting. But, just so you know, there will be spoilers, so, fair warning for all parts, except 8. So JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is a really, really long-running, famous manga and anime series, and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is about muscly strong men who fight each other in increasingly ridiculous situations, and it is clearly written by an author who very much knows how nothing on Earth works. So, it's pretty entertaining. But it is also stupid and very bizarre. I do like JoJo, but it's a very mockable franchise. So, I guess really quickly I'll go through the plot. So there's 8 parts. Many of them are independent from one another, but some of them do lead into each other. So part 1 is the first of the Joestar bloodline, who is a protagonist, Jonathan Joestar. He is a British gentleman who is being raised by his father, and through a series of circumstances, his family adopts Dio Brando, the main antagonist of the franchise. Dio is a underhanded, lower-class Britishman who is trying to basically steal the Joestar fortune. And probably kill them all as well. So the first part is about the rivalry between Johnny and Dio, or not Johnny, sorry, Jonathan. It's going to be really confusing because each different JoJo part has a protagonist, and they're all something Joestar or Cujo. They're all called JoJo, and they're vaguely related to each other in many different ways. And the protagonist, the full name of the protagonist from parts 1 and 7 is Jonathan Joestar. So I'm reading through 7 right now, so I'm probably going to call him Johnny a few times, which is wrong. So Jonathan Joestar and Dio are enemies, and they end up fighting a lot. And yada, 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 Dio becomes a vampire, a very strong vampire, and he is going to use these vampiric powers. He's a very ambitious evilman. Dio's pretty great, by the way. He's one of the better parts of the series. And he wants to essentially take over the world, more or less. But first, he just wants to kill the Joestars. So, Jonathan learned this power from a Italian guy named Zeppoli, who is his teacher, called Ripple, or Haman. I'm probably going to call it Haman, because that's what the subs that I watched used. So he uses Ripple Haman, which is basically like, through magical breathing and nonsense, you use energy and fight each other. And it has like sunlight and heat properties, so it does good damage to vampires. So he beats Dio, and that's part 1. Then part 2 is 2 generations later, his grandson, Joseph Joestar, who is the best one, is a shitter bumming around in America, and the mask that made Dio a vampire, the people that made that mask are like super vampires called Pillar Men, and they are, this takes place in Nazi times, by the way, I should have mentioned, and they, I don't even know why I'm going over all of this, but basically the series is either fighting vampires, which is the first 2 parts, or in parts 3 and onward, the big thing of the series is introduced. These powers called stands. Everyone has a stand. It can be like a guy behind you who's like, they're made of your willpower. So the more willful and strong of spirit and heart you are, the better your stand is. So maybe your stand is just a physical ghost that punches people very hard. Or maybe your stand is a bunch of vines that can do stuff. Like there's very few rules universally for stands, but if you kill a stand, its user dies, and vice versa. And there's a few rules that apply to all stands, but like there's a lot of stands that break them, so it's not even really worth mentioning. From part three onwards, it goes from here's cool, goofy, stupid karate versus vampires and the undead to okay, every part pretty much now has a single goal. In part three, it's kill Dio, who is back. In part four, it's find David Bowie, who's a serial killer, and kill him. Part five, it's find a mafia boss. Part six, it's escape a prison and kill Dio's boyfriend, who is a priest. And then part seven, it's win a race, but and find Jesus. But JoJo's really stupid. But along the way, there are a number of encounters where they must defeat other stand users in combat. And it's always a group of protagonists. And the more protagonists there are, the worse the part usually is, by the way. So I will say right out, I like part one, I love part two. Part three, where they introduce stands, I think fucking sucks. I think part three is terrible. The party's bad. I like Jotaro and old Joseph and Abdul enough. But the other two... Polnareff's terrible and gets way too much focus, and Kakyoin shouldn't be there. He shouldn't be a party member. He contributes literally nothing. And then the other three don't get enough focus. So I don't... And that part is just, hey, I've just invented stands. It's the 80s. No one in anime land thought of something like this before, so let's see what I can do with it. And there are a lot of missteps. So it should be said, this is so weird. This is such a hard thing to tackle. So I guess instead of trying to explain it to you, the imaginary audience, I should just talk out loud about the things I like and dislike. So, the stand fights can be very cool. Some of them are, like, excellent battles of wits and, like, my stand can turn rain into zombies or whatever. Oh, yeah, well, my stand makes my fingernails pop off and I can shoot them like guns. It's like, how will these interact? Because it's not who's more powerful, it's like who's more clever, usually. And good stand fights are when there actually is a clever solution. And then bad stand fights are when Araki, the author, kind of hears about a concept or like a thing an animal can do or a rule of physics, but like doesn't actually really learn about it. He just hears it exists and kind of like uses it in a wrong way. Like in part five, there's a stand called Weather Report, which allows a character to control the weather. And at one point, a guy punches him, and his hand hits one of Weather Report's clouds and just bursts into flame. And it's like, ah, you were hit by the air friction as though you were a object entering the atmosphere. It's like, well, that doesn't actually make any sense because you've previously shown that's not how his clouds work. They're just regular clouds. It's not an atmosphere. What are you doing? And like, that's a mild example. That shit happens all the time, like multiple times per fight, by the way. And these fights are long. Like they'll be like anywhere from 4, if it's merciful, to like 16 chapters on a single character encountering the people. And that's sometimes a problem because you've got these, you have this one goal. So part three is bad. The reason it's bad is because there's one goal. It is get to Egypt, find and kill Dio. And we have a 30-day time limit because that's when the protagonist's mom will be dead from a Dio virus, basically. And that part is not satisfying for the vast majority of it. There are some excellent fights, and it has the best finale of any of the parts, objectively, no question. I mean, I haven't gotten to 7 or 8 yet, but, you know, I mean, Araki hasn't gotten to 8 yet, but yeah. JoJo's ongoing, by the way. So, the problem is, it's like, we have this single goal. Now, here's 50 episodes of us reaching it, but, like, not really making any progress, because it's pretty arbitrary when we bump into another stand user, and we have to fight them, and so many fights can be cut, so many fights should be cut. Like, I've had all these conversations with the people I watched, part three with, that were like, wow, though, like, more than half of this could have been cut. And, like, again, there's some awesome fights in there where it's just like, oh, you two are magnetized and you have to deal with the magnet lady while you're magnetized. That's a neat setup. I like that. versus like, oh, hey, it's your least favorite protagonist, and the antagonist can de-age people, so he's turning them into fetuses, and like, then the solution to the fight is just punch him? Like, God, it's bad. There's a lot of that, and quality fluctuates so wildly that I have to say JoJo's probably a series best watched with an episode guide and a very objective-minded friend telling you how to go through it. Some people say, like, don't watch the first two parts and skip to part three where they introduced stands. Those people are wrong, because part one is, like, only 9 episodes, very simple but satisfying story. And it's pretty interesting even without stands. And then part two is just great. Like, part two is my favorite, actually, just because it's two protagonists, both of whom are likable. Pretty much no bad fights, like, no really bad fights, and a lot of moments that are very JoJo. So, JoJo is a string of stupid. The entire series is running on the concept that if there is enough momentum and things are cool enough to outweigh how dumb they are, you will enjoy this. And when it does that really well, it is awesome. It is so fun to watch JoJo, or read it. And then other times they kind of hit a wall with like, oh, we're still on this fight. I've been on this fight for 100 pages and it's been bad the whole time. That's pretty much what all of part 5 is so far. Only halfway through it, really boring, really bad. So like, JoJo has all these JoJo moments, and like, all of them are famous. Like, if you ask someone like, hey, what are some of your favorite moments from the single part of JoJo? And people would be like, oh, I like the part where they're riding through a tunnel on a horse-drawn carriage, and a zombie bursts out of a fully functioning horse. Like, it was hiding inside the horse, but like, the horse was fine and didn't notice until that point, because sense doesn't exist in this universe. There's a few huge flaws of JoJo, and like, those moments are amazing, and they're all over the fucking place, and they're like, everyone agrees which ones are the moments. Like, you just know. It's a weird sense, like, even in part 5 where there's just these fucking crappy moments, you get these like excellent panel sequences of weirdness where it's just like, super fat mobster goes to eat a banana, and then he blows his own head off because it turns into a gun, and a character whose powers make no sense in part 5 is just like, that's right, I turned your gun into a banana so that when you'd eat it, you'd die. And like, he hasn't, like, he's kind of been shown to be able to do that, but not really, and not from that distance, and there's no rules. It's just that. It's just a bunch of those. But so when it snowballs like that, and it's so dumb, it's just a goddamn ride, that's awesome. That's when the series is really good and it's at its peak. And sometimes it also balances like genuinely well-choreographed fights and things. But I have to say, now that I'm like midway through part 7, so I'm like 85% of the way through the series, maybe 80%. So the thing is, I think in part 2, there's a lot of very clever encounters that are very interesting, and part 3's second half, which is called Stardust Crusaders Battle in Egypt, is very good. There's a lot of good fights in there. Both Darby brothers are cool and have good solutions. Mariah's a good fight. Pet Shop is awesome. The Dio finale of Stardust Crusaders is still far and away objectively the best fight in the series, and the best fight I have ever seen in an anime. It is so well-paced and so well-choreographed, and the stakes are great. It's just like, here's how good this fight is. I watched this with 3 other friends, maybe just 2, but 3 on and off other friends, and by the end of Stardust Crusaders, we were like, yeah, there were some high points, but overall, 4 out of 10. Just a waste of our time for the most part, which is unacceptable. And then that Dio fight happened for 3 episodes straight, and at the end of it, we all looked at each other and were like, 6 out of 10. That was like, that ending alone popped it up 2 points out of 10. Like, it's so good. And there's fights that are that good, but they're pretty rare. And they're only in 2, the second half of part 3, rarely in 4. So far, never in 5. 5 is just crap. I don't know why you'd read it so far. There are 2 really excellent fights in 6. And then, like, 7 is just kind of enjoyable, but I don't actually think the fights have been clever or well choreographed so far. It's just a neat setting and premise. So what really carries the series is the stupidity and the over-the-topness of it. And, you know, it does fall flat sometimes. Like, there is a fight in part 6 that is... Oh my god. It's like, this guy's stand is able to rip popular characters out of their media. So, like, they fight, like, Pinocchio and, like, the three Billy Goats Gruff and, like, Astro Boy is in the background at one point. And this happens all over the world. And the power is, if you see a fictional character you recognize... They are able to draw you into their story, so, like, say you get drawn in by, like, the wolf from Little Red Riding Hood, then, like, you'll become the wolf, and the huntsman will come and chop you up and kill you. That's how the stand works. That stand was so dumb, and, like, it sounds like it could be cool. It was not. Was paced terribly, was fought by the worst two party members alone. Against no stand user. The stand user was just in an airplane and irrelevant. And how they beat it was one was just like, well, all fictional characters are coming to life, right? So one of them just doodles something on the ground. He's like, this is my original character. And he kills this stand. And then they just beat it like that. Which is funny and would have been funny had that been like half an episode in length for that punchline. But... or half a chapter, or just one chapter. But it was like 7 or 8 chapters of wasted time. And it was in the big finale, like, second half, let's rush and beat the bad guy, and you don't give a fuck about these party members. That's the other thing. A lot of this is gonna sound negative. JoJo's fun to read. It is, when you analyze this series, it gets terrible really quick. So, if you haven't seen it, don't let me turn you off from it. Because I do like it. Yeah, but there's a lot of issues. So, the parties tend to be really boring. A lot of the characters are bad. One of my friends phrased it, Araki is too good at writing weirdos who are, like, meant to be defeated and kicked to the curb and murdered. He is not good at writing likable characters. So really, at best, your like for these characters is usually kind of a neutral like. It's more like... Yeah, they're fine, but like everyone else we've met in this setting has been a murderous weirdo who fucking drinks their own piss and licks toenails and murders babies. So, I like them, comparatively, and that's sort of how it works, but the problem is when you have, Araki can only put so much goodwill into a protagonist, and he spreads it pretty thin sometimes. So, like, you know, part one you have, just JoJo, Zeppeli, and Speedwagon, all of whom are good. In that kind of neutral good sort of way. Then in part 2, you have just Johnny and Caesar, both of whom are good, because there's only 2 of them. Then in part 3, you've got a party of 5 that kind of becomes a party of 5.5, and 2.5 of those guys just suck. They get a dog in the second half. I hate that dog. That dog should not be in the series. Iggy is the goddamn worst. And then in part 4, in part 4, you get, like, a fairly good party, but really the only good character and probably the best character in the series in terms of writing so far is Koichi. Though, I do like all 3. Like, part 4 is pretty solid. Then part 5. As far as I am concerned so far, part 5 has no likable protagonists. The only one I like so far is Bruno, and that's because he doesn't say or do anything. He just, like, analyzes situations and wins fights. And, like, when your best character is the one that has no personality, that is a huge issue when you've got thousands of pages in your part that I have to read with these characters. The other thing is... So the specific, like, Araki's too good at making weirdos is in response to characters will be introduced as villains almost universally, like, almost every single time. There's, like, 3 times that doesn't happen. And those characters who are introduced as villains are really introduced as villains. Like, the guy I just mentioned from part 5, Bruno Buccellati, who is just a... I might be pronouncing his name wrong, by the way. Is, like, he's an okay dude. He's a gangster, but they're all gangsters. And, like, he's just a very neutral guy. He's, like, sort of pleasant and level-headed. But when they first meet him, he walks up to the main character and is like, hey, did you murder my friend? I can tell because I can lick your face and taste from the sweat. And, like, he just is super weird and, like, endangers a lot of randos and, like, puts an eyeball in Giorno's hand from the guy he just murdered. Like, it's like, that is this really strange, bizarre, like, it is an apt, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, super apt title. So, they introduce characters like that, and then immediately once they're defeated, they're just like, I am now a good guy. But, like, nothing changes. In part three, things change, because two of the protagonists have, like, they're basically mind-controlled to be evil. But after that, people are just insane and, like, creepy and weird, and they just join the party for no reason. Like, the first thing the part five main group does when they meet Giorno is one of them pisses in a cup of tea and is like, drink this tea. And Giorno's like, I'll do it. I'll turn my tooth into a jellyfish so that I can suck up the piss. That actually happens. The other thing, I know I called out the Rick and Morty people for, like, probably having a piss fetish with how much Summer mentions it. Araki has a hell of a piss and, like, shit fetish or something. He's got a scatological and urological fascination. It's very strange. And it comes out a lot really randomly for no reason. I don't know if I want to mention it in this video because, like, I just mentioned this in the Rick and Morty one and it feels like I'm treading the ground again, the same ground, but, like, yikes. Oh, it's so weird and out of nowhere. Like, at least Rick and Morty has the decency to be like, yeah, this is a thing a human might say, whereas in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, it's like, this stand sucks the gravity out of a room, so now we're floating. And suddenly the female protagonist is just like, oh my gosh, I just have to piss, and, like, I just have to now. And then the other guy who's on her team and also floating is like, just do it in the air, I pissed over there, like... And it's like, why do we have to piss? Because when you're out, when there's no gravity acting on your kidneys, you suddenly something, the blood rushes around and your kidneys overact and you immediately have to pee. Which, like, I was so baffled by that, I looked it up. Like, I'm 99% of the time, I'm just like, Araki's wrong, and I move on because I know things. But that time I was like, maybe he didn't pull this out of his ass, but no, I don't even know what he was reading to get that information, because even if he read a real fact, and, like, on a Snapple cap, and presented it in a really wrong way, like, boy was he wrong. But, like, it's just weird excuses to have piss happen. Stuff like that. God, there's... So JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is also really... Maybe not... No, it is violent, but, like, it's unpleasant in, like, new ways every time. Just so trying to think of things that happen. There's a lot of fingernails and shit blowing off, a lot of eye gore that I don't care for. Oh, this is a weird thing. So oftentimes people will get attacked in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure because the stands are really dangerous. Like, it'll be like, yeah, I can attach a sound effect to a monkey and throw the monkey at you. And if the sound effect I wrote on that monkey was boom and the monkey touches you, you explode. Like, that's the power. So they'll blow up and their face will rip in half or whatever, which would kill a human. But then, like, they're just fine. Like, head wounds, not fatal in JoJo. The most not fatal thing is a gunshot wound. You will almost never be killed by a gun until part 7 because it's cowboy times. But, like... So there's a lot of that kind of wounding out of nowhere. People will just blow up. It's very strange. I'm trying to think of other ways this is unpleasant. I mentioned the stand that turned a lady into a fetus while she was in another person's arms. They beat a guy by flushing him out of the ground by peeing into his air hole. There's a bad guy who's a baby, like a literal baby, so they mix the baby's shit into its food and feed it its own shit. Not even to defeat it, that just happens. Again, like, Giorno drinks piss. Like, all this weird, weird shit that is always new and weird in different ways, just constantly happens. And you... I have read, like, I'm gonna say 7,000 pages worth of JoJo. And, okay, 7,000 spreads, not even pages. So, like, over 10,000 pages of JoJo, and I'm still surprised. Like, I'm not surprised that the things are happening, but the specific terrible shit that happens continually surprises me with the new shit Araki thinks up. Gosh, what else is there to talk about? Usually the JoJo of the part is not the main character. He is in part 1 and 2. Jotaro is not the main character in part 3. It is Polnareff. Polnareff gets all the focus. He's the only one with a character arc, and he still sucks before and after it because he doesn't learn anything. He just keeps going into bathrooms and getting ambushed while he's taking a shit or whatever. There's a lot of, like, I already mentioned it, but it's so everywhere in JoJo, I have to talk about it again. Araki really is the kind of guy who seems to, like, go on Wikipedia binges and, like, skim the first paragraph of every article before clicking another blue link, and that is what he will write entire things based on. Also, he'll forget how stands work mid-fight. So up until part 7, parts 1 through 6, I believe, were all written week to week, and it really shows now that I'm reading part 7, which was produced month to month, which, like, the fights are still weird, but they, like, make sense and they follow a rule set. That is not the case at all in parts 3 through 6, especially. Like, he will just forget how stands work in the middle of fights. He'll make up new rules. Like, the protagonist in part 5 has a power called Gold Experience. I don't know what Gold Experience does, and it's the main character's power. He just, every time he uses it, he pulls out, like, different bullshit. Like, the first thing is it can imbue objects with life. So you can pick up a rock and, like, turn it into a frog. And, like, that's weird enough. That should be your stand, the end. But then he can also, if he hits a human with it and imbues them with life, their consciousness has so much life, they begin moving too quickly to comprehend things, and they start, like, astral projecting because their brain is so overstimulated that they can't move their body correctly. And then after that, he just pulls out a new fucking power every goddamn week. Like, he can just pick up rocks and shit and, like, turn them into flesh and stick it on his wounds, and he's just invincible. Like, it makes, like, every time a new power. One of the most famous examples of this shit is the very first time you meet a party member who's evil at the moment in part 3, who's controlled by Dio miles and miles away. It's Kakyoin, who shouldn't be in the show, or should have died after this initial encounter because he adds literally nothing, and Araki takes him out midway through so he can bring him back in the final battle and kill him there. So Kakyoin's power is called Hierophant Green. And Hierophant Green has one power for the rest of the series except for his introductory episode. So he can throw, like, little gems as an attack, and it's called Emerald Splash. That is his one thing he can do. In the first episode, he can... Sorry, bumped my mic. In the first episode, he can go into other people's bodies and puppeteer them a little bit. Like, he's got puppet powers. And the very first thing he does is... he's, like, painting a picture with the protagonist, Jotaro, in it, and, like, slashes across him in the picture like a voodoo painting, and that cuts him in real life. Kakyoin can't do these things. Like, either Araki forgets, which I honestly think he forgets. Like, week to week, he does not read more than 1 week previous. So he just makes up new power sets, forgets really obvious things. The worst one is in part 4. Part 4 is pretty neat. It's just there's a town full of stand users. One of them is a serial killer. They want to find out who he is. And that's it. That's the prompt. In that part, there's three acts to that part. The first one does not involve the serial killer. Not yet. They're trying to find a different guy. And the ticking clock on that is that they're bringing in the protagonists of parts 2 and 3, whose power is Hermit Purple. And Hermit Purple can produce photographs and pictures of people they're looking for. So this antagonist knows that and wants to kill Joseph so that they can't use his power to find him and know who the stand user is. That's it. That's what they're trying to do. And it's like the whole big thing for the first third of the series. And then they beat him up not Joseph. They beat him up, and Joseph is like, all right, great, I'm fine. And he just stays in the town. And then the next two acts of that show and manga are, all right, there's a serial killer named Kira, who is David Bowie. So we need to go find David Bowie and beat him up. All right, the first part is this, just David Bowie comes into their lives and murders one of their friends. They're trying to figure out who he is. They encounter him and defeat him, but he manages to disguise himself and run away. And then the third act is just, where did David Bowie go? Who is David Bowie? We know he changed his face, but we don't know who he is. And the whole fucking time, Joseph is right there with his explicit power that they've already used in this part to, like, explicitly to find an antagonist. That's the only thing his power can do, pretty much. And they just forget it. They just don't even remember he has that. And it is infuriating. It's like, I can't even think of... It's like if in Dragon Ball Z or something that, like, they've got, like, an anti-alien gun or something. And it's like, man, we just managed to defeat the Saiyans using that anti-alien gun. It's a good thing they didn't manage to get the gun from us. And then they go to fight Frieza, and it's like, man, if only we had something that could kill aliens. It's awful. It's just inexcusable. And that, like, that's the worst example, period, I think. But that happens almost every other fight by part five on. Part five and six, five especially, is a garbage heap. God, I hate part five. Yeah, JoJo has a lot of issues, but I guess I'll try and wrap this up because I've been going for a little while. Again, it's fun when it's goofy, and it's fun when its stakes aren't just win the fight. Like, when the encounter is, I need to get out of a prison, and this enemy stand keeps me in prison, that's a neat encounter, because it's not about just punch the other guy until they fall over. You have to figure out how to escape. Or, we need to win this part of the race, but we can't be seen using our stands. How do we do that? Or, like, that kind of thing. When the stakes are unique and interesting, I think JoJo works really well, because you're pitting two people with super specific power sets and putting them in a specific scenario and seeing who wins. And the audience doesn't know who's gonna win, because occasionally party members die, for one thing, and like they might just lose. You never know, because like it's not who's the most powerful or who got to charge their attack. It's just who's clever, and when it actually kind of leans into that, it's a really good series. And so far, part 2 and 7 are really, really good at that, from what I've seen. Whereas part 4 is also pretty good. 2, 7, and 4 are the ones, if you, for some reason, you only want to check, like, a little bit of JoJo out, those are the ones I'd recommend so far, because 4 is the best regular part with stands, 7 is a lot of fun and very unique so far, I like it a lot, and 2 doesn't have stands, but I think it's better than most of the parts that do, because, like, the fights are still pretty unique, and all of the solutions are very interesting. Yeah, I guess that's about all there is to say. I think the anime is really good too. It's animated fantastically, has a really good soundtrack. Araki's art style is a little weird. Everyone kind of looks pretty similar. Sometimes the fights are pretty hard to follow unless you can find a colorized version of the manga online. Like reading without color is very hard, I will tell you, because Araki. It's weird. He's a really excellent artist. Like, his portraits and animals are beautiful. And not portraits. His landscapes, his settings, his scenery, his animals, all really good. The way he draws humans is pretty weird and kind of samey. And also, he doesn't like them with bones. Like, they'll be standing in very strange poses. If you search, like, JoJo pose or whatever, you can get some interesting ones pretty quickly just by scrolling through Google. And people will just stand in ways that would break their ankles and their knees and all that shit. So when it's in action, it's often pretty hard to tell what's going on. Also, oh, here's another thing. The character designs and fashion go from pretty normal from the beginning on to about part 4. And then in part 5, just goes to shit. Like, Araki really likes he likes Italy a lot. He likes American stuff and he likes Italy. Those are his two big things. He loves Italy. And he likes Italian fashion brands, but doesn't seem to understand what fashion is. He just seems to think it's, like, weird. People make fun of, like, Final Fantasy for having, like, I'm in a ripped-up outfit and I'm covered in belts, but Araki has characters who are just like, I'm wearing a cowhide, but it's been Swiss cheesed and there's holes, but and I have a tie that's just on fire. And like, then it'll be like, they're just regular, it's like, how could I know he was the stand user? He's such an ordinary looking person. It's like, what, Araki, do they let you outside? Do you know what people look like anymore? It's very strange. He also draws every injury as a hole in the body, just like a perfect golf ball hole. Even explosions. So that's strange. Sometimes he rips bodies apart too. Yeah. JoJo's fun. It's super weird. This will be an interesting episode to write because there's a lot to poke fun at. And I will tell you right now, I refuse to use the phrase, is that a motherfucking JoJo reference? Because I'll end this on this. Anyone who uses that joke, you're a piece of shit. Because all you're doing is, someone's already, maybe they did it badly, maybe they did it well. But if anyone makes a JoJo reference or a JoJo joke, and you're like, wow, real clever by making that JoJo joke, and you say, is that a motherfucking JoJo reference? All you are doing is what they just did, but worse. Because you didn't have to think about yours, and you're parroting something that was never funny. So that's my last thoughts on that. Bye.